There it is. This is the Podcast Weekly, and we are now live streaming to Twitch, and the podcast should be up shortly. All right. It has been a fascinating day. I spent, get this. You know, I'll tell you one thing. I woke up in the morning, and I heard an ambulance at 5 a.m. And I was like, what? Why? You know, so I did some computer coding stuff and I went out to pray. And typically I should pray at, no, like I get up at 5 and pray. And I did my computer coding before I did my praying. And I kind of, well, actually, no, I prayed a little bit before, but so anyhow, so I went outside to get an energy drink and it was about 6 a.m. And there was this traffic accident. The police were investigating. They'd been investigating it for like an hour. And it's a small little thing. I think a car hit a scooter. Anyhow, there have been sirens running all day. It's been kind of a crazy day. So I literally spent 2 hours trying to adjust the color on my webcam, which I use for the Pacific Daily Times podcast. It's very important for those. Well, not the podcast, the YouTube channel. I spent a significant amount of time getting that just right, and I couldn't get it right. And after 2 hours of trying to get the color right, I found out that I was in the wrong setting. Yeah, I was in the color key setting, and I should have been in the chroma key setting. Who knew that there was a difference? Well, so in OBS defense, it was operator error, but I want to say this, and this is a thing, okay? This is a thing. I was irritated with OBS for not letting me just put in the hex code for the color. You shouldn't have to only choose on the color wheel. If you've got the number, the correct numbers and coordinates for a color, you should be able to just do that. Okay. I want to explain something here about my life as a coder, because I spent all Sunday coding and I'm working on getting the Inkverb webmail server able to do VPN over at verb.ink. I'm working on trying to get those servers able to do that. But to do that, I've got to set other framework in place. So I've been really, really working on this stuff, and I'm working as a developer constantly. I've got my own software. I'm always working as a developer. So I want to give you an opinion. Even if you're not a developer, I want you to understand the world of developers. Because this is a thing here. So I'm going to get here. This is a thing. World of developers. There are two main types of developers. There are the developers that don't want to write any code. And then there are the developers that don't want any dependencies. Dependencies. Now, what in the world is a dependency? Okay, I'm not going to teach you all about code, but I'm going to teach you what a dependency is. Let's say I'm writing my code and I've got a web page. And my web page has a little blue dot on it. And I want to make my little blue dot go in a circle. Well, typically, there's a language for that. I'm not going to tell you what the languages they are, but there's a language for that. It's not that hard. You need a little research. You can figure out how to make a blue dot go in a circle. And so you basically, you'd pound out the code for make the blue dot go in a circle. Okay, you pound out the code for that. Make the blue dot go in a circle. Okay. But let's say that I don't want to do that. I'm one of the lazy, well, I don't want to accuse anybody, but I'm one of the other types of developers. And so I don't want to type out make the blue dot go in a circle. I want to just type out dot circle. That's what I want to type out. Okay, well, that's understandable. But here's the thing. In order for me to just be able to type dot circle, for my little blue dot to go in a circle, I've got to download and install a whole other program. We call it a library. It's a program's program. It's a program to run the program. So I've got to install or get or download or, you know, set up another program for the program to run the program called a library, and that's got a whole bunch of little stuff in it. If I just type dot circle, then this other library, we'll call it the movement library. It's got a whole bunch of those things. You do dot circle, and it will say, make the blue dot go in a circle. And it will pound out all that code for you. And it's got lots and lots of code like this, and dot circle is one of them. Okay, so I'm lazy, and I want to install this program to run the program called a library, because I want to type dot circle instead of make the circle, or make the dot go in a circle, make the blue dot go in a circle. That's how that works. Okay, so here's the problem. What happens? Well, first of all, this library called Movement, the Movement Library, this program that runs the that's run by the program, it's enormous. It's big. It's another thing to download. It's another step to installing. So people can't just install my software. They've also got to install this other thing too. And no, if I put it into my software to install it, it makes my software a whole lot bigger and it takes more time for people to set up. It's a headache for everybody, me and the user. Okay. So that aside, what happens when the movement library changes and it's no longer dot circle? They think dot circle is too big. It's going to be dot cir, dot C-I-R, dot cir, C-I-R for circle. Because circle, the C-L-E at the end takes too much time and they want everything short. We made it better. So dot circle doesn't work anymore. Now you got to type dot cir. It's that easy. Oh, great. Now my program doesn't work because that dependency library changed. Okay, that is what's wrong with most computer programs. When the internet has a problem, or when like a website doesn't load right, or your software has some weird glitch and there's a bug in it, it's usually something like that going on. And there are these programmers that get all these dependency libraries. They don't want to write the code themselves, which isn't that hard. But they want to use this cheap little cute, adorable, cuddly little shortcut that'll grow up into this big hairy monster. And they want to use that to make their website do all this normal stuff. One of the biggest ones of those is Microsoft, the Microsoft library. It does amazing, wonderful, beautiful stuff, but it's easy to hack into. There was a company that I have an account with, and that recently got hacked into. And of course, I have my guesses as to what software they're running. So, there are programmers that want other people to write the majority of their software code, but it makes it so that it can break easy because you're all dependent on this little tiny piece of software that might not work. But then there are the other type of programmers. They don't want to use many, many libraries, and they want as few dependencies as possible. They want to write as much stuff themselves as possible so that when those libraries change and get updated, it's not going to affect them because they don't use those libraries, and it's less headache to install. You don't have to download half of the internet just to do one little tiny thing. You don't have to have a sledgehammer crick to your house so you can shack a nut. You don't have to ship a sledgehammer to your house so you can crack a nut. So that's the thing is this. Okay, this is my thing about this. I'm sort of thinking that the people that write stuff based on the dependency libraries probably tend to be liberals or Sunday morning types, and the people that do it all themselves probably conservatives and maybe not hyper involved with Sunday morning. That is, if they're Christians. I'm just kind of thinking, because it's all kind of related there. I guess we're done for the day.